I count it a joy to be with you tonight. I count it an inestimable privilege to stand before you tonight and open God's Word. I would much rather have listened to our brother, and I cannot take his place, but we trust through the Holy Spirit of God there will be something for each heart in the meeting tonight. Do remember our dear brother Routley. He was mentioning to me this afternoon that many possibly unsaved folk would be at the funeral, and he was much cast upon the Lord that the message would be that which the Lord would have him bring, and that through this death some may find eternal life. Turn, please, to the little epistle to Colossians. I'm sure that which we're going to bring to your attention tonight is nothing new, but I trust that our hearts will be stirred. I trust, should there be any here that are still without Christ, whether young, middle-aged, or old, that you will consider, my dear friend, eternity. For eternity, I believe, is going to begin very soon. I'm convinced in my own heart that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the very next event on God's calendar of time. I believe truly that Jesus is coming. How this should speak to the heart of any in our meeting tonight, perhaps, who has heard the gospel many, many times, and you are still here without Christ. You are still not saved. You have never been born anew. For remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the 3rd chapter of the gospel by John, ye must be born again. Without this new birth, this spiritual birth in Christ Jesus, you will never see heaven. What a horrible thought this is. And for those of us here who are born again, who have trusted Christ as our personal Savior, oh, I trust that God, through His Holy Spirit, will speak to our every heart, that we may be stirred to greater endeavors and to better service for our Lord Jesus Christ, because time is short. Colossians chapter 1, I'd like to read the first 17 verses. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, or your mind, on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, or deaden, therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. And may I inject there these words, a heart of compassion, kindness, long-suffering, humbleness of mind, meekness, forbearing one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We know that God will bless to our hearts His precious word tonight and help us to store it up. Beloved, if you do not remember anything else that's said, if you remember and meditate upon the word of God which we have read, it will be profitable for us to be here tonight. I want you to notice the little word that this chapter begins with. And I want you to think in your mind of what a tremendous difference this little word means and makes in so many circumstances of life. You've heard many people say, I would like to go here if I would like to do so and so. If. But I would like you to notice the context that we find this word in tonight. If ye then be risen with Christ. Oh, beloved, this signifies new birth. And I would like to ask you tonight, very pointedly, have you been risen with Christ? Have you been born again? This is the most important question that faces a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, after they have come into this world. When we come to the years of accountability, this is the most important thing in our lives. For every one of us, beloved, have been born to die. It goes without saying that every community, every town, every city in the great land in which we live has its cemeteries. It has the mark of death everywhere. And it reminds us that this is inevitable. We're born into this world. Oh, that wonderful birth. Only God can give life. The scientists believe now that they can make life in a test tube. Do you believe it? I don't. This is God's prerogative. You remember back in the book of Genesis chapter 1? We read there about God made man in His own image and His own likeness. And we read that God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It is only God that can give life. And beloved, it is only God that can give eternal life. It is only God that can give the peace and the assurance that comes with the knowledge of sins forgiven. Peace cannot come by any virtue or merit of our own. Salvation cannot be wrought by works of righteousness which we have done. It is found alone by faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ. Has this been your experience, my friend? Can you look back to that time in your life when you became a new creature in Christ Jesus? Can you look back to that wonderful time in your life when you passed from light, from darkness unto light, and from the power of Satan unto God? Oh, I look back tonight with joy to that night when, as a teenage lad, I sat under the sound of the Word of God so wonderfully, so powerfully, so spiritually given. Oh, how faithfully God's dear servant proclaimed the Word of God that night. And you know, I felt as if I were the only one in that room with the preacher. And I felt like he was speaking only to me, because I had gone in that night with one thought in my mind: this may be my last chance. I had heard the gospel as young as a little baby who was crying just a little while ago. I was cradled in the Word of God, saturated with it. I dare say before God saved me, I could have gotten on the platform and preached a simple but basically an acceptable gospel message. And I thought, well, I'm good enough. I'm good enough. But I thank God for that night. I found out I was a lost, hell-deserving sinner. And as I realized I was lost, and could do nothing to help myself or to save myself, and in heaven I wanted to be. Oh, I wanted to be where my mother and father were going. I wanted to be with the Lord Jesus in the glory for all eternity. And that night, when I realized I was lost and undone, although a good Sunday school scholar, although a good boy, and many people took me for a Christian, I found out that I was lost in sin, and I needed a Savior. And you know, all at once, the light dawned. It was me for whom Christ died. It was my sins that nailed him to the cross. And in simple faith, I said, Lord, I believe. I'll take you at your word. I was saved. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. If ye then be risen with Christ, are you born again tonight? Have you had an experience with the lovely man of Calvary? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? And beloved, on the authority of the Word of God, I can tell you tonight clearly and plainly, in language easy to be understood, that apart from faith in Christ and trusting the precious blood of Christ shed at Calvary, there is no salvation. There's no chance of heaven apart from God's way. And that is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him tonight? I felt very timorous about coming and taking this platform tonight. Thinking of the weeks that have gone by, that you wonderful people here at Park of the Palms have been saturated with the Word of God. And I thought, what can I bring? And as I prayed about it, this is all we can bring. And God's Word is fresh. God's Word is sure. And God's Word is new every time we read it. I've read this chapter many times, but what a blessing I've received from it today. Notice what it says. If ye then be risen with Christ, what a responsibility it places on you and me who say we're Christians tonight, who say we're born again. If ye then be risen with Christ, we would have no salvation to preach tonight apart from the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We would have no gospel to proclaim. And you remember those folks who were over there where Mohammed was buried, and they said to the Christian, well, you know, you have no proof of your prophet. But we can take you to the tomb and we can show you the bones of Muhammad, the prophet. We have proof that he lived. And you remember the answer, those of you that have heard the story. We cannot go to a tomb where there are remains of a body or where there are bones, because our Savior is a living Savior. Our Christ lives on high, eternally in the heavens. Oh, beloved, he went to Calvary. He poured out his life's blood. He died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He was buried, and the third day he arose again from the dead, victorious over sin and death in the grave. And he's coming again. For the lovely words in John 14 remind us, if I go away, I will come again. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Are you? I'm looking forward to that day when faith will give place to sight. And I shall be in the blessed presence of my lovely Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I love him tonight because he loved me enough to die for me and paid the price of my sins at Calvary. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Sad to say, there are many today who name the name of Christ, and it seems as if they're seeking everything else. They're far more interested in the stock quotations at the end of the day than they are in the Word of God. They're far more interested in making a place for themselves in this world and putting something aside for a future day. You know, laying something aside for their old age. Oh, I have something laid aside. I have something in heaven, an inheritance incorruptible that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for me. Every blood-bought child of God has this witness tonight. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Why? Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Now, set your mind, it says set your affection. But the American Revised says, set your mind on things above. How often our minds become contaminated with that which is about us in the world today. How easy it is to be led astray and to be taken away in thought and to be occupied with all things of this life and the terrible things around us in the world today. For truly we are living in the words, in the time spoken of in the epistle to Timothy. Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. How we see it? Men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We see it on every hand. And sad to say, many professing believers are led away with this same problem. Set your mind on things above. And now I'd like to get to 6 points. And don't be afraid, we're not going to keep the meeting real late. I was so glad this morning that our brother Willie said that the meeting this morning had to stop right on time. But after that, well, we're not going to keep you late. There are 6 things that I would like to call to your attention, and I've called it undressing our former selves. There are things we've got to get rid of before we can really count, before our lives can really count for God. And I want you to notice them in verse 8. There's much more in these other verses, but we don't have time to go into them. But notice in verse 8, now ye also put off all these. You know, as I meditated upon these today, I thought, is it possible that some of these things that sound so vicious can be true of believers in the Lord Jesus? And yet we know the apostle is speaking here to believers. And he says, put off all these. And I want you to notice the first one. Anger. Anger. Now I know that there's a verse of scripture that says, be ye angry and sin not. And there is such a thing as righteous anger, righteous indignation. But you know, anger is something that should not characterize a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the qualifications of a bishop as we come to 1 and 2 Timothy and the epistle to Titus. One of them are these: not soon angry. Anger. Romans 8 in verse 6 tells us, for to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And if you and I are spiritually minded, not carnally minded, this is one thing we'll be able to overcome. You know, there's some folks that are so nice to talk to, as long as you agree with them. But the moment you say something they don't agree with, you don't agree with them, they become angry. You can see the color begin to rise in their cheeks. And it says we're to put off anger. Proverbs 14:7, it says that anger, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. I've experienced that in my own life, friends. I have. In business, and in other things. You know, something comes up, some circumstance, and we don't think it through, and the first thing we do, it crosses our brain, it isn't what we want, and we get angry. And we say something, and we shouldn't have said it. And sometimes it costs. Sometimes it costs. Not soon angry. Anger. Put off anger. In Ephesians 4:6 it says, be ye angry and sin not. Oh, how hard it is to put a watch upon our lips. And I've got to pray the prayer of the psalmist many times. Oh Lord, put a watch upon my lips that I may not sin against God. We've got to put off anger. And then the next one is wrath. Now, they're quite similar, and yet there is a difference. Very often wrath is the result of anger. A man gets angry, and then he takes out his wrath upon an individual. And I'd like to tell you a little story that happened when I was just a teenager. You know, my dad was born in the little country of Holland, and over there his folks were dairymen, dairy farmers. His dad had a dairy farm. Very poor people. And when he came to this country, he still had a love for the cows and the dairy farm. And you know, when I was about 16, almost to the turn of my 17th year, Dad thought that I ought to have a little experience on a farm. So he sent me out to this farmer, and he said, have you got a job for my son? Why, sure, I can give him a job. He can learn to, he can clean the barn, and he can do this and that, and he can learn how to milk cows and so forth. And this man was a professing Christian. Although I remember, after hearing him speak different times, I remember he was always talking a lot more about the minister of the church than he was talking about his Lord. I very seldom heard him mention how blessed it was to know Christ as his Savior. But didn't the pastor have a wonderful sermon yesterday? Always occupied with something else. And one day, we had a lovely herd of cattle. And one day we brought the cattle in from the fields. And this was one of my jobs. I hated it, but I did it. Because, you know, in those days, we didn't have much choice. If we could find work, we did it, whether we liked it or not. And so I went to the farm. We were bringing them in, and we got them all in place and got them ready to be milked. This man was just a little bit of a fellow. He was about 5 feet, 3 or 4 inches tall, and not very heavy. And there was one cow that only he could milk. And just as he sat down under this cow to milk her, the cow kicked. And it had a couple of chains on its back legs, because the cow was known for this. and it kicked the man almost across the barn. Well, I have never in all my days seen such a display of anger and wrath in all my life. He just about bent to pieces two steel milk stools. He broke a couple of brooms over the cow's back. And he had the cow so afraid that it was just crunched up in a corner where it was. Anger. Wrath. He gave vent to his wrath. And you know, he found afterwards, when he took the time to see what was wrong, that the cow had been injured in the field. And the minute he touched it to milk it, he hurt it very badly. And do you know, as a result of his anger, it cost him. He lost the cow, and it was one of the best ones. It was his pet. Anger, wrath. Put these off, the apostle says. Let's notice the next one, malice. Oh, but do you think that the heart of a child of God would have any malice in it? The apostle is speaking here to believers. Malice. Oh, God, keep my heart and yours from malice toward anyone. Least of all toward a believer, a fellow Christian, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is malice? Evil thinking. Have you ever heard the little story about the classroom? This isn't exactly malice, but it does give a little formula to what I would like to tell you. We had about 25 or 30 young people in the class when I was in the 5th or 6th grade in grammar school. And the teacher would give a little illustration. She would whisper something in the ear of the first child on the first row in the front seat. And she would say, "Now, you whisper it to the next one, and all the way around until it gets to the last one, and then we want to hear how near the story is to what it started out to be." You wouldn't believe some of the things that... Why, she whispered a sentence, and it came out a whole big story when it came to the end. And you know, that's something like malice. Sometime we whisper a little something in someone else's ear. Now, don't you tell anybody. And the reason they say that, they want to be the first one to tell somebody else. This is something that shouldn't be in the child of God. We're to put these things off. They belong to the world. Malice. Enmity of heart. And in 1 Peter 2 and chapter and verse 1 we read, "Wherefore laying aside all malice." And then the next one is blasphemy. Blasphemy. And you know, I'm not thinking so much of the child of God taking the name of the Lord God in vain. No. I'm very thankful to say that I've very seldom heard this from professing Christians that I have met. But do you know that by your life and mine, if it isn't clean before God, and if we do not walk circumspectly as they expect to see us walk, we can bring blasphemy upon the name of the Lord from those who are without Christ. This should not be named among us. And then the next one, evil speaking. Oh, I'm sure this would not be true of anyone in Park of the Palms. It is so lovely here. It's so beautiful. It's such a wonderful place. And we're saturated with the ministry of the Word of God. Evil speaking, never. Oh, but beloved, how Satan likes to use this little tool to cause dissension, to bring strife. And it's something that should be put off in the life of a believer. Titus 3 and 2 says, "To speak evil of no man." You and I, as believers, have no right to speak evil of the unconverted. We're to pray for them. We have no right to speak evil of dignitaries, of those that are in authority. We're to pray for them. Speak evil of no man, but we're to be gentle. showing all meekness unto all men. And then notice the last one. Falsehood. Lying. Do you think it's possible for a child of God to lie? This is one of the things we're to put off. Be honest. Forthright. And sometime you hear one say, it's just a little white lie. There is no such thing as a white lie. An untruth is an untruth regardless. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, we read, be ye kind one to another. And if we're kind one to another, we're not going to tell a falsehood about anyone else. In fact, we're not going to tell anything that would be evil or wrong or that would be malicious, because this isn't what a Christian should do. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Have you ever been in a meeting where one brother would sit on the one side and another brother on the other side, and they would come and go and come and go for years and years and not speak to each other and still sit down and break bread together? My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We're to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now we just have a few minutes. You know, number 6, they say, is the number of man. And so we don't want to stop here. But 7 is the number of perfection. The perfect number. So I want you to notice 7 things, beginning with verse 10. And don't be alarmed. I'm not going to keep you long. I'm just going to point them out to you. And I'd like you to take this chapter at your leisure and go over it and read it and notice these wonderful things. Now we've seen what we're to put off. We're to undress and take off all these other things. And now we're to put on the new man. Now we're in Christ. Are you in Christ tonight? Are you a child of God? Listen. Put on, therefore, verse 12. Let's start with verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And now verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Oh, could these titles refer to you and to me? By God's grace, they do. They do. Even though I will admit that many times I don't act holy as I should. And beloved, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion. A heart of compassion. Isn't this what we need? A heart of compassion and love, one toward another. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples. Hereby shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Yes, this is the true characteristic of the child of God. Now, we come to the 7 different things. Number 1, a heart of compassion. Sympathy. Oh, sometimes we're so hard, aren't we? The different things that befall our loved ones in Christ. We don't have a kind word for them, a compassionate word. And yet the Lord Jesus was compassionate self. And then the next one, kindness. If you want to see where that fits in, you read 2 Peter chapter 1, where we find those 7 wonderful virtues that should be characteristic of the child of God. A heart of compassion or sympathy, kindness, humility, not falsely, not false humility, but humbleness of mind. And do you know, if we keep our mind humble and pliable before God, He can use us to His glory. And he can use us to edify the saints of God. Meekness. And I was wondering about a meaning for that this afternoon. And you know, I couldn't find a better one than this. Mild of temper. There's some things people don't lose nearly as fast as they do their temper. The worst part of it is if they lose it, they seem to get it back again. Mild of temper. And then the next one, long-suffering. Oh, are we long-suffering one toward another? Patient, enduring, and then forbearance. I sometimes wonder how my wife can be so forbearing with me. I'm hard to get along with at times. And I really don't mean it, but many times she'll call me on the telephone. We usually talk to each other a couple times a day. In business, I'll call her or she'll call me. How are you doing, honey? How are things going? Fine. But then about 5 o'clock, I get a call. What time do you think you'll be home for supper, dear? Well, I think I'll make it by 6 tonight, maybe a few minutes earlier. And oh, just about 5 minutes to 6, something happens. Or 10 minutes or 5:45. And sometimes I come in at 6:30. 6:45. And she's never scolded me yet. After 33 years of putting up with me. Now I'll tell you, when a man's in business, his time is not his own. But I thank God for forbearance. Because I can hold up my wife tonight as a beautiful example of it. But we should be able to forbear, to control ourselves. And then the next one, forgiveness. Can you forgive your brother? Oh, you know, sometimes you speak to someone kindly, and they turn around and snap you off. And it hurts. Can you forgive him? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. We must forgive each other. And you know what all these 7, these wonderful qualities, this new dress, this new garb that we're to put on, they are all tied up together in one thing. That lovely 4-letter word, L-O-V-E, love. The bond of unity and that which unites us together in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it. There's not a fellowship like it in the world. There's not an association or a lodge or what have you that can compare to the bond that unites you and I together as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I thought of these 3 things. Verses 14, 15 and 16. Love. And as a result of putting on all these new things and having the love of Christ in our heart, we get a peace that passeth all understanding. And through these things, God gives us wisdom through His precious Word. Shall we pray? O God, our Father, we do bow humbly in Thy presence this evening. In the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank Thee for the precious, unerring Word of God. Take all that has been of Thyself this evening, Lord, and may it be for Thine honor and glory. Perhaps there's a boy or a girl here or an older person, and they're still outside of Christ. They don't know these wonderful things that we enjoy in knowing Christ as our personal Savior. And they do not have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. They're still in sin and lost and undone. Speak to their hearts tonight. May they come to Christ. We who know Thee and profess to really love Thee, our God, grant that we may show it in our lives from day to day. For our Father, if we can get on together, we can go forth together and witness for Thee. We thank Thee for Park of the Palms, for the privilege of being here tonight. Bless Thy word, bless Thy servants, bless Thy dear people for Jesus' sake. Amen. Could we sing one verse in closing, please, of number 298? And I'd like for us to sing it prayerfully. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. The new dress we've been speaking about will bring about this that we see in this hymn. Mold me and make me after Thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have you yielded your will? Have you yielded your all to Him? Oh, do it anew tonight and rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.